This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, "Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart."
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Another great, albeit brief, ex-Bill on the list of players purged in the ESPN Fantasy Football database today. They're just not coming back, so we can take their names off the board.
Kelvin Benjamin?
O.J. Howard.
Oh, okay.
Benjamin might be good for that. He was it 2 years ago where he went to the Giants to play tight end, maybe? I mean, it wasn't that long ago, so.
Yeah.
We had Corey Davis. Sammy Watkins was one today. Mm. I guess ESPN, assuming he's not coming back.
So this is the list of guys that when it gets to be, I don't know, December and you're ravaged by injuries, and if you're in a league that is not policed as severely as Paul's is, you have opportunity to still add players and make moves because you haven't run out of them. You go through the list and you start to see names of guys. You're like, is that guy even in the league? That's this list. That's what we're talking about, the purge. Okay.
Yes.
It's good that O.J. Howard got off of that then.
Yeah, that's a sad one. Duke Johnson, we mentioned him earlier as somebody else for this. They've given up. Tom Brady. Now, that's a little bit bold.
That could be risky.
David Johnson.
Former Arizona and Houston running back David Johnson.
Yep. They're assuming he's not coming back. I wonder, who is the guy?
Oh, boy, talk about a running back that just got brutalized by the league. I mean, he got paid, but, man, the injuries just wrecked that guy.
He lost a whole season when he was the 101 in fantasy for Arizona. He tore his ACL in week one. There was that. He lost a whole season there. He was traded to Houston, right? DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
That didn't help. That didn't help at all.
No.
I don't know about wherever else. Ronald Jones. Tampa.
Not Donald Jones. That would be weird if he were still
Donald
around.
Jones. If he were still everybody, on, welcome back.
He's still on a list. He's got to be like 40.
Ronald, think about what that says, too. I mean, you're 40. It's been, you're long gone.
I know, right.
John Brown. You know, John Brown, here's a glass to that guy. It's always Diggs with the Allen story, you know, and with good reason. Diggs is a big part of it. John Brown, Brown and Beasley.
Brown and Beasley maybe proved to the Bills that they should go trade for Diggs. Because in that, when they got here, in 19, Allen took a step. He did not. We were not all set. I don't remember it that way going into the 20 season, but there was progression, and maybe I. But that's a question I might like to ask Bean sometime if we ever get the opportunity casually over a cup of coffee or something. Not even necessarily on the air. You know, when did you know you needed to go get a dude? You know, seeing the quarterback take a step with the likes of John Brown and Cole Beasley, nothing against them, but neither of those guys is Stephon Diggs. But it still lifted the whole thing and lifted Allen, like, okay, let's push that a little further. Let's go a lot further. Let's go get a guy that is a bona fide number one type receiver and see what happens. And the results speak for themselves. With 1 year ago today, by the way, the Diggs trade.
The Diggs trade away.
Away, that's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I think Bean would say this. It has to be true. It has to be acknowledged how much luck there is in it. Because, you know, here we're talking about still getting a real number one. Cooper was maybe going to be a real number one. Shakir, nice player. Never anybody's like real number one, right? So the continuing saga, at least post-Diggs, so it's not that long. It's 1 year exactly, apparently. Like, to get that receiver through the draft or whatever. What do we always say? It's the time of year we talk about the draft every day. Well, this is how you have to do it. Because these guys just don't come up. The best we had this year was supposed to be T. Higgins, and he didn't even make it against odds.
Right.
Like, Higgins didn't even come up. This year you have older guys. You have Keenan Allen, who was not signed. You have Cooper himself. You have a couple more guys like that. Godwin was somebody else. He's been injured a lot, not as old, but he re-signs with Tampa. So how are you going to get that wide receiver one, you know, bold print, the draft?
Or trade for DK Metcalf, but yeah.
Oh, fair. That's right. That did happen. It's rare, though, as you would assume. And Diggs came available, and they got that done. Like, in 1 day, they saw social media, got on it, and, I mean, that's to their credit, but it's kind of unusual that even happened, that he was available like that.
I think looking back at it now with the last two off seasons added on, I think it's right to say it's rare. We had that one off season with Hill and AJ Brown, and it seemed like, and there was maybe another guy that I'm forgetting.
There was AJ Brown and Marquise Brown in the draft the same night, and then Hill would have maybe been before. Maybe that was the same year? I don't know.
Yeah, it was. Hill and Adams, that was like Adams. Before the draft. That was like when free agency was coming or was on, like whatever. So it was like March, and then at the draft you had the other guys. So you had four marquee receivers in one off season, and it felt like, okay, well, teams are, you know, they're going to get creative with this now. Like, you know, we don't want to pay this guy $30 million at 29 years old, so we're going to move. Or it wasn't $30 million then. It was probably more like 25 or 20, but whatever. You get the point. And I thought, and maybe a lot of us thought, that was going to be happening regularly. Like, year over year, you would just have that. That's why Ayuk was so interesting last offseason. Like, here he comes, contract's coming up, they got another guy, what are they going to do? It turns out they ended up keeping him. But the expectation I had was that, every year there's going to be two, three, four guys of that caliber that are going to get moved because teams are just in weird places on their timeline with that big contract, or the guy do a big contract and it's just not time. Our quarterback fell apart. We're looking for a quarterback. We're not going to pay a receiver top of the market because of that, whatever. And it just really has not happened. Metcalf sort of stands out now this offseason. I don't think there was a trade of that caliber or any of the ones that I previously mentioned from 3 years ago last year either. Like, nothing really happened. You know, we were in the center of that storm, I think, expecting something to happen because the Bills traded. I guess that maybe is your trade. Like, that was Diggs got traded. That's a marquee name. So that was last year's version of it. I kind of forgot about it because it wasn't like a guy we thought we could add. It was a guy we ended up purging. But anyway, the point is, you're right. Those guys are harder to find. The cost is always going up, at least contractually. You're going to pay, you know, $35 million now if you're trading for a true number one wide receiver without a contract in place already. Ayuk is under contract for less than that now. But the point is, yeah, draft. Because otherwise, you probably aren't going to get your hands on a guy like that. It's part of the reason why I wanted the whole time Diggs was here, just about draft another guy that could potentially be him. Because I'm going to need,
so to speak,
someone in the timeline. I'm going to need someone here that ready to take that spot. And it never really happened. Gabe Davis was never a candidate for that to me. He was a fine number two receiver and had his moments, but was never a guy that showed the traits that he could be a go-to guy. So, yeah, your best chance at getting that guy is to draft him. And the Bills did draft Keon Coleman last year, and I'm sure they're as hopeful as anything that he's going to pan out and turn into something for them more than what he was last year as a rookie. And I don't think it's unreasonable to be somewhat optimistic about that. He showed some promise. It just got derailed. Hopefully he can get it back on track. But another guy is absolutely called for. I don't know if it outranks, even in my mind, defensive end, corner, defensive tackle, but they still have room for another guy. And right now, if you ever want to get past Everybody Eats, because Everybody Eats is, it, look, it worked, they scored, they won, great. Eventually, someone should emerge and become your number one guy. Like, that's how the league usually works. And I don't want to stop looking for that guy just because Everybody Eats worked so well last year. I think they should still be looking for that guy. And I don't know that he's here. Coleman might be the best hope you have. Shakir, I love Shakir, but he's never going to be that guy. Samuel is not that guy. Josh Palmer?
No,
I mean, I don't think he's going to be that guy.
No.
So Coleman, you got to hope that he can ascend. And I don't know. That's not even a 50-50 bet, I don't think, at this point. So you should probably keep looking.
Yeah, the best they're going to do, I think, on this is day two. Which is good. I mean, that's still good. It might even be surprising if they do that. They could get a third round pick and then maybe do that. But seems like it's going to be a defense draft. John Brown, it's his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, John Brown.
35. Remember where he ended up? Here.
Oh, that's right. He came back.
He came back and caught a touchdown pass in the Nyheim Hines game the week after Hamlin.
Wow.
He caught one pass for the Bills that year. He didn't spend the whole year with them. They brought him back. He caught one pass. He played in the playoffs, too, against Miami. Including that game, though, he caught one pass, and that was it. 42-yard touchdown pass against New England in 2022. Arizona, Baltimore, Buffalo, Tampa, Denver, Jacksonville, Buffalo. That's John Brown.
Wow.
You know, here's a thought I had, too. We haven't talked about this Joe Milton trade.
He squeezed in a lot of teams in between Buffalo stints there.
He got around.
I didn't realize he did that.
We haven't talked about this New England-Dallas trade today. I was just thinking before about the draft and, like, oh, would you like a wide receiver? Okay. You know, even a good one. Would you like a running back? Absolutely. Do they need one? We don't know if they think that. But, you know, maybe. And I kind of like quarterback, too. I'd like to have a new quarterback to just talk about and to follow, whether that's the Syracuse kid or Ohio State or Notre Dame, one of these sort of guys, you know,
Saturday,
on the list.
Saturday quarterbacks.
Saturday. Yeah, like sixth round or something.
Yeah.
Just to have them. And when I thought about that, I thought about this Milton trade. And what an insult. What a disaster for the thought. Well, you draft somebody because, you know, you were saying always draft a wide receiver, right? Something along those lines. And I used to say always draft a quarterback. Why would you not? What else matters? So maybe, you know, thinking of that, doing that here, and maybe you find somebody. Maybe you're next year playing a meaningless week 18 game, and your guy is the next Joe Milton or Rob Johnson or whoever, where he has a showcase game, and the league wants him. But the Patriots did so badly in the trade that, never mind.
Right.
Never mind. You know, Rob, Sam Monson and Palazzolo were talking about this today, and even Sam tweeted it, how Johnson, as we will remember, starts one game for Jacksonville in the meaningless finale, and he's amazing. And the Bills traded the 9th overall pick for him.
And gave him 5 years and $25 million.
Yeah, like a 9 overall, which was Fred Taylor ultimately for Jacksonville. But amazing, right?
Yeah.
It didn't seem so amazing to me then. Like, oh, well, need a guy.
Yeah.
Collins didn't work out. All right, Rob Johnson. Here, I'm not saying they're the same. I mean, the Cowboys, who knows if they'll even play for the Cowboys?
The scenario is similar enough. Like, as far as playing a game goes and smashing it, like Milton did what Rob Johnson did back in 1997, I guess that would have been.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah.
So the Patriots trade Milton and a seventh for a fifth. A compensatory, like the end of the fifth. Basically, they gave him to Dallas. And it was reported that other teams made better offers, but they decided to let the player decide where did he want to go. And he picked Dallas, which is also weird.
Right.
Because he's not going to start there.
No.
You'd want to go to somewhere, go to Pittsburgh or someplace where, and they were on the list.
Yeah.
That they were supposedly, they asked about him. But, you know, maybe the Patriots also kind of wanted to bury him and not lose to him. Because what you had with Milton last year, even in camp, they draft Drake May at 3, right? Daniels 2,
yep.
May 3. They draft Drake May at 3. And in camp, people were saying, like, oh, Milton's better.
Yeah,
right. And in the preseason, he was really good in the preseason.
Yeah.
So the one thing about this that I get from New England side is you don't really want that. You don't want a young player on the bench if the starter struggles. And, like, you know, we have this other guy. Did you see week 18 last year?
Right.
We have this other. You don't want that.
Yeah, you'd rather have, like, some journeyman that nobody really feels that good about.
Which is exactly what they have in Joshua Dobbs.
Right.
Somebody who is really no threat at all to May. I get that. But the best they could do, it's the picks are almost, would have almost the same potential to make it in the league. A fifth and a seventh. Like, it's almost nothing. But, you know, here you go. An intriguing, young, he was a rookie last year, quarterback prospect that showed well when he got on the field. And yeah, no, like they couldn't cash in on that at all.
How much do you remember offhand? I can look it up. What level of pick was Johnson?
Oh, fourth.
Okay.
So I think.
Third or fourth. So it's not like big pedigree there, right? It's not like he was a first round pick who just, you know, did until he, you know, finally got his chance and shined, like, okay, well, that's it. We're sold. He was, you know, just a kind of a guy.
Pick 99.
Okay. Milton was later than that, but still, the point I'm making, you know, trying to figure out really what it is that the league, I think, has probably gotten smarter about doing stuff like this than they were in 1997 or 98 when they traded for Rob Johnson, the Bills did, because his reputation, his draft status is not something that would have pushed you to do that, is all I'm saying, whereas Milton was definitely a Saturday pick, but so was Rob Johnson, as it turns out. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, fourth round.
Yeah.
Same draft as Collins.
Right, yep.
But he didn't start until the finale in his third year.
Yeah.
He started...
Mark Brunell.
Mark Brunell.
Yeah.
AFC Championship. You know, that was a team that went far. Johnson, of course, a Super Bowl winner.
Right.
As he wrote
one time
on his website.
On his website.
It might still. I haven't been... Right. I'm probably the first person clicking on his page at Pro Football Reference today. I'm not going to the website. That's enough. This is enough, Rob Johnson. He ended, by the way, with the Raiders. Which so did Lossman, right? Lossman played for the Raiders.
I think that's right, yeah.
Johnson wore number 7 for the Oakland Raiders in 2003.
Well, I wonder if Milton is just betting on, like, you know, Prescott's had injury problems. The backups have played there over the last few years, so I'll get my chance. Yeah, right? I don't know. I still would think the runway would be clearer in a place, like you mentioned, at least Pittsburgh. I don't have the other teams memorized that were on that list. But Pittsburgh certainly looks more quarterback needy than Dallas right now. But just, I don't know if there's just being in that part of the country matters to the kid, or if it's, you know, more just betting on the guy getting hurt or what exactly. But it's a weird choice.
Lossman also wore number 7 for the Raiders in 2009, but he ended up with Miami in 11. He played 2 games, threw 10 passes for the Dolphins. Remember, do you remember that? I don't remember that at all. 2011 Miami.
Not unless one of those games was against the Bills, and I forgot. You know, so I'd want to say, of course I remember him playing against the Bills, but no, I don't really remember.
2011. What were we doing in 2011?
Well, probably bemoaning a 12-year playoff drought.
You think?
That would go on for a little bit longer. 2011. Like, is that
Fitzpatrick?
That's Chan Gailey and Fitz still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did appear in a 35-8 Dolphins win over the Bills in week 11 of 2011. But he did not throw a pass.
Hmm.
What's that game going to be? This will be fun. Bills are 5-4. 11 is a season where they started hot and then completely fell apart. 5-4. Miami is 2-7. The Bills are 3-point underdogs despite the better record, and they lose 35-8. Wow. Are you having fun? Are we having fun yet?
that's a bit of a
Who's the Bills kicker? You'll never get it.
Oh, great.
Who is the Bills kicker in this game? 2011 season.
Nick Mickemeyer. John Leipold.
Thanks for trying. You'll never get it, so why should I try?
I'm just naming off kickers from my childhood.
I'm going to say the name, and you're going to be like, that's made up.
Okay.
It's not going to be like a Carpenter.
Okay.
Or, of course, Lindell, one of the kickers from the drought.
Oh, like
drought kicker trivia.
Mike Hollis.
Tune in tomorrow morning. Oh, Joe's off. Tune in soon to a Sneaky Joe show where they have the 38 kickers from the drought. And you have to rank them by how many field goals they made. Dave Reiner.
Yeah, no, that's made up for
sure. It sounds right.
It's 100% made up. Yeah, that is not a real person.
Dave Reiner.
Who kicked field goals for the Bills. Yeah, I don't have any.
Seven games.
Any recollection of that happening whatsoever.
Seven games. Why did they need this Dave Reiner in 2011? I don't recall. Lindell was on the team. Was that it for him? No. He must have gotten hurt.
Yeah, that's got to be what happened there. So I'm
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Being lost in the 2011 season now that you mentioned it. I'm just looking at it. First loss in Cincinnati. There's a Stevie Johnson incompletion that would have been a first down. Bills, the final score of this game is 23-20. Bills are trying to mount a tying or winning drive. And there's a pass to Stevie Johnson on a third and like seven or something. And it's low. He goes down to get it. And it's ruled incomplete. I don't remember how much they looked at it or what. But it stood. And we were pretty sure that he had caught the ball. But still, they lost that game. They beat the Eagles the next week, lose to the Giants as a bye, and then the Washington game is in Toronto, is it not?
Yes.
Fitz gets hurt in that game. They win. He gets the contract. Like before that game, I think they announced contract extension for Fitzpatrick. He gets hit in the ribs and is almost never the same player for the Bills again after that. But they got the 5-2 after
that. This is the New England win in week 3 that year.
Yes, right. That's right.
Wow, look at the scores. That Dolphin loss, I do not remember it. It had to be just the worst.
Right.
This is really over.
That was preceded by a Dallas loss that was 44-7.
The Dallas game I remember. The Miami game I do not. Oh, wow. 2011 Bills, let's go. Any of these guys still in the league? Or were they all purged by the ESPN fantasy database today, including Donald Jones, as you mentioned earlier?
I'm going to guess, Dave Reiner is not still in the league.
Reiner? Let's take a break. We'll look for your calls after the update. Oh. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, what? I just have to know. What's the noise?
After that Washington game, they lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row.
Yes, they did.
Oh, my God.
Yes, they did. But they built some momentum at the end for the following season. It's the Tebow game.
Right.
They won the Tebow game.
They clobbered Denver, yeah.
And then they go to New England and go up 21-0. And Johnson's got a T-shirt.
He gets
give up 49 unanswered.
Right. Happy New Year on the T-shirt.
That's a band name, 49 unanswered. All right. Time for the update. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, WGR.
I talk to Sue all the time. I was going to call Sue after this. Keep it a buck. It would be cool to play with my brother again. Only God knows at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? But I do talk to him. Sometimes when you're outside of football, you ain't really trying to talk about football. Let's keep it a buck. Like, man, I probably just talking about his day, how he doing, what he doing, any trips, how you feeling, how your mental, you know what I'm saying? But a little bug in here is there about coming back.
I think this is Benford on Rasul Douglas.
Correct.
So, and there was a tweet from Douglas, like with was it the prayer hands?
I don't remember what it was, but it was positive, whatever it was.
Yeah, it made me think, like, it's not the Bills' favorite idea, which is what I've thought the whole time is.
Right.
They need somebody. He's been here. They're out. Unless it's just, like, dirt cheap, maybe. Go and see what you can get. But
yeah. Yeah, I look, you know, I'm poking around most days. One window I've got open, even though we're this late into free agency, is guys that are still available at, you know, various positions. In the corner market, there are names there. Douglas is one of them. And one of the things I like, they don't have this for every guy that's still available, but Douglas is one who they do. The market value, like what SpotTrack thinks this player should be able to attract on the open market. And Douglas's number is still close to $12 million. Which, like, I mean, this late into free agency, I want to say I'd be stunned if he got that somewhere. But Diggs did just get a pretty big deal from New England last week, and we were, you know, well, it was a week earlier, but still, we were pretty far into free agency. So
he found a team that had a lot to give.
Right, right. So,
and a lot of needs.
Yeah. But there are, I mean, Douglas is still out there. Gilmore, his projected contract is half of that, $5.3 million for Gilmore. He's 5 years older than Douglas, or 4.5 years older than Douglas. That's probably a big reason for that. Asante Samuel Jr. is still out there, and that's a number closer to Douglas's. Again, estimated according to SpotTrack, $11.4 million. And that's a very young player that just, at this point, I have to assume teams believe him to be damaged. There was some talk about an injury concern with him, even in advance of free agency opening. And that's a name player that, to me, I mean, it's a name player. He's got a famous name for a cornerback. That helps, too. But still, you know, good player. Just shocking that a 25-year-old corner can't find a home. So I'm assuming he's not ready to play.
I'm still in love with the 2011 Bills Pro Football Reference page.
I told him I had to close it up during the break.
I love it. I mean, you got it. Maybe you have to be us to feel this way, but because of, like, you hear the laughter. The Bills have gotten pretty, and, like, it's all just very Super Bowl, eye on the prize, you know. It's all business. Anytime we get back into the drought like this, it's so much fun. Because of the current reality, I think it's so much fun. Otherwise, we'd just be pulling hair out.
Yes.
If we were still going, it'd be the Sabres. It'd be just like,
right.
This is the Sabres drought ago. This 2011 Dave Rayner, John McEntee Bills. That's the last time the Sabres were in the playoffs. I mean, the same year.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to be, I'll never get this. I don't work there. But if I ever got put in charge of who leads the charge at Bills games, Rayner's my first call. I want an entire season of lead the charge where the entire stadium goes, what? They're on their phones. They're trying to get him to sing on the field, and the fans are all just like, who's this? And you know, just and have it really just like built up to the absolute. Can we have your attention? Joining us now, a man unforgettable in Bills history
needs no introduction.
He needs no introduction, but here's one anyway. As you'll all remember, in 2011, Ryan Lindell got hurt. He filled in, and above all odds, he made 48% of his kicks. We welcome back to Highmark Stadium, on this the last year of the facility,
Bills legend.
Bills legendary kicker,
the beloved
Dave Rayner.
My working beloved.
Beloved. I mean, every week would have to be different. I mean, the next week it's Brandon Kutu, and we do a whole thing about him. Just a year of sense of humor. Anytime the Bills are ready for a sense of humor. That's pretty extreme, though. Here's something I think is funny. It's not about James Cook. Here's something I think is funny.
I'm already laughing.
I would like to play this game with you. I'd like to play 20 questions.
Okay. Oh, I hate 20 questions.
I know. I was worried about asking. That's why I'm asking on the air.
I'm so lacking for creativity that I cannot come up with good questions for 20 questions.
It's unfortunate.
It's a flaw. Anyway, I'll give it my best shot.
All right. Well, maybe we'll just sort of skip to the end at some point.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
20 questions. Every question has to be answerable with yes or no. Unless it's like not possible. Like yes or no questions, 20 questions. Do people still ever play this at parties? No, you're playing like a Jackbox game or an Xbox game or, you know, something else. Probably not much for 20 questions.
That's what I'm going to use as my excuse for why I'm so terrible at 20 questions. Is that I don't play it at parties anymore.
I'm too busy playing
Twister.
Twister, right, sure. All right, 20 questions. There's a food that stunningly, I will say, I'm just going to sort of maybe lead you in a certain direction here. Mm-hmm. Last night, when dropped on the floor in my home, Margo, the pug, would not eat. The only other food I've ever seen her, well, not like spinach, maybe olives, mushrooms, like she won't eat certain vegetables. This was surprising to me.
Okay. Was this, this was food?
Yes.
Was this a meat?
No.
Was this bread?
No.
Was it bread adjacent? No, don't strike that one. That's not a real question.
Yes.
Was this a fruit?
No.
Was this a vegetable?
No. You're running out of food groups.
What? Dairy? What's left? Was this dairy?
No. Bread is the closest you've come.
Okay.
Huh. I mean, it might have been bread at some point in the process of making it.
Okay. So then we're talking about a crouton.
No, not a crouton.
Mm.
You're getting warmer.
Like a crouton, was this also something I would put on a salad?
No.
Okay.
Like a crouton. Don't get too specific to croutons. Just like sort of what's similar to eating a crouton.
Was it one of those little, what do they call it? The Melbitos?
No.
Is that what those are called?
You know
what
I'm talking
about? Those little crunchy bread.
That's a bread shape, adjacent. Little,
yeah, okay.
Yes, but no, it's not that.
No, not that. Okay.
No.
How many questions is that
Nine.
So far? Okay.
But, you know, we're fine here. I think we're fine here.
Okay, great. I'm running out of gas.
This was at about 10:30 at night.
Bread adjacent.
Watching, I guess I didn't watch a baseball game last night. I was watching a 30 for 30.
Mm-hmm. On what?
The Mets.
All right.
Once Upon a Time in Queens. Four parts. That doesn't count as one of your questions.
Okay, thank you.
On what?
I mean,
it was dropped on the floor.
Pizza crust
at 10:30 at night.
Was it pizza crust?
No. Okay. But again, you're around it.
Yeah. Was it actually a piece of bread?
No. It's still not bread.
Okay. Sorry. Just, I thought maybe I worded the question sloppily. No. I didn't want to get hung up on a technicality.
No, it's still not bread.
Just try. Okay. I don't. I'm out of gas.
Fritos.
Oh, that's my dog. That is
my
dog.
It was so amazing.
Dog Margo.
I rarely have Fritos in the house.
100% love this dog more than I did 30 seconds ago.
Rarely have Fritos in the house, but made chili over the weekend, had Fritos for the chili to put on top and crumble up. And I just got some Fritos out last night watching this show and dropped one. She comes over. She was sitting with me. She jumps down, sniffs it. Pokes at it.
Of course.
Nope. Would not eat the Frito. Would not eat it.
Mad this dog respect eats, for this dog.
I mean, it's
right
a
now.
Dog. It eats tissues. It eats pens. It eats unmentionable things.
None of those things stink like Fritos do.
And it's just dog smell is her like strength.
That's her superpower.
Her superpower is smell, and she would not
I'm taking
eat
this
the
as
Frito.
absolute 100% validation of my stance on Fritos for my entire life, which is that they're the most disgusting food on earth.
Just since we're in 2011 mode here, why not go back to that day,
right,
whatever year that was, for the Fritos call.
Margo, way to be, kid.
Margo would not.
Love it.
I kept putting more on the ground. I couldn't. I sacrificed like four of them.
Right.
Throw them on the ground. And she would look at it. Maybe this one's different, she might have thought.
No.
Maybe this one, I don't know. Maybe I'd like that
like
one more than this one.
This is gross.
Would not.
Yeah.
Would not. Might have licked one to just test it. Did not get there. So good for you.
Smart.
All these years later.
Smart little pup.
You were right.
There.
You were right.
That's a great job by Margo.
All right. That's the game. That was the game. That was the game.
Fine.
Okay. Timeout. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. All right. Saw a graphic today from the Bet Online people, I think it was one of those deals where they track Twitter comments to get a sense of like who fans like or don't like, whose team, which fan base is the most optimistic this year, pessimistic, all that kind of stuff. And they did this one on the Final Four and which team in the Final Four are states rooting for. Would you like to guess who most states are rooting for of the four teams, the highest number of states? I'm putting all these questions to you.
Well, it's definitely not going to be Duke. There's too many haters of Duke, I think, around the country. So I would want to throw them out. Florida feels kind of new and fresh. I feel like Florida, and plus most people, I think you think Florida, you're like, Florida, that's nice. I like Florida.
I go to Florida.
It's vacation. It's warm. It's almost the tropics. I'm going to say Florida.
Two states.
Wow. Florida?
Florida and Hawaii.
I wanted the other one to be Alaska so badly.
Nope.
All right.
Alaska is not for Florida.
Mm.
You know, that would be a rivalry.
Yeah.
I think that would be a rivalry.
Yeah.
Florida and Hawaii are the only two states where the fans, according to this study, are rooting for Florida. Duke, you are right to say, is not the answer. Two states are rooting for Duke. North Carolina and Maine. I don't know like if there's somebody on Duke from Maine or on Florida from Hawaii or something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
That leaves 46 states
for Houston and Auburn.
How many do you think Houston got?
Not as many as Auburn. The answer's got to be Auburn.
Auburn got four.
Why does everybody love Houston?
Alabama, Ohio, looks like that's Wisconsin. And we've got Washington State. Those are the four states rooting for Auburn.
I would have thought Charles Barkley's having gone to Auburn would have carried a little more weight in this sort of thing with the country.
Nope. 42 states out of 50 are for Houston in the Final Four. I don't know.
How did we arrive at this information again exactly?
You know, it's keywords.
Yeah,
it's people
right.
tweeting, I'm rooting for Houston.
Right.
Go Houston. Go Cougs. all of that in the Houston case. I don't know. But because they're playing Duke is the theory given by the BetOnline.
Oh, okay.
In the semis.
That makes sense. Just get Duke out of here. The Duke hatred goes so far as to have people rooting for Houston. That makes sense.
Maine is rooting for Duke because Cooper Flagg is from Maine.
Okay.
There it was.
That's good. That makes sense.
Does. Best player in the country. All right. A lot of James Cook today. A lot of other various things. I had a baseball question for at some point. Doesn't have to be today. We've been kind of off the grid here for a little bit. But I wondered, maybe I'll save that. I'll decide during the break if I want to. I've been asking you all the questions.
I should come up with some questions.
All right. I'm open to that.
Like, why are you wearing a Brewers visor today?
So, yes, Bulldog in a Bills hat. I am in a Brewers visor because I'm wearing a t-shirt with no, well, it's got an Adidas logo, but no like, other
passable
print.
Okay.
And that frees up my headspace, so to speak, for a visor. If I wore a t-shirt like I often do with some other, you know, big logo on it or something, mm-hmm. some other message,
mm-hmm.
then no visor. You can't do two. Can't cross message. Only room for one.
Wait, so hang on now. So, oh wow, I'm in violation today then for sure, because I am sports logo.
Absolutely, yes.
Sue Greyhounds.
You can't
shirt
do that.
And the Bills hat. I didn't even realize that when I did it. But if I yesterday I was wearing, what did I have on yesterday? A sloth and a hoodie drinking a cup of coffee. If I'd worn a hat with that, you're saying that's a problem now too?
It's not as big a problem.
Because it's always been sports logos. It's like not as like big. I'm doing. Today I'm admitting here, I stepped in it. If I'd thought about it, I wouldn't have done this, but I just sort of very haphazardly just grabbed. I was going through my long sleeve shirts in my closet and I thought, I haven't worn that one in a while, let me grab it.
Hat hazardly.
And then I put the hat on, mm-hmm. and that was that. So I didn't plan very effectively.
No, you didn't look in the mirror.
But I respect the sports logo foul. But I would push back against any other sort of graphic design that has nothing to do with sports and a logo on a hat. I'm fine.
You're walking past somebody, and they've got a sports logo on their hat, or visor in my case, and they've got a big other something on their shirt. What are you supposed to look at? What are you trying to tell me? Oh, you're this and this. Just give me one. Mm-hmm. Give me one message. Give me one thing. This is what I'm representing today. I'm representing the Baseball Hall of Fame. I've got a Baseball Hall of Fame T-shirt with the names of all the players in the Hall of Fame on it. I can't wear a Brewers hat or any logo hat with that because this was like
So if you had a T-shirt on today that the one of my favorite T-shirt of yours currently is in play runs.
Yeah,
the S in parentheses. If you were wearing that, you would not have a baseball team visor on.
Probably
today?
Not. Probably not. Right. It goes with baseball. It's a baseball shirt.
Right.
So was the one I just mentioned. Yeah. Probably not.
All right.
We try to keep it, you know.
Yeah.
One thing. Who knew there was a strategy?
The hat was a last second choice for me. I thought, I haven't worn a hat in a while. You know, we're the Twitch. I'll slap a hat on today.
The morning guys are always in hats.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Jeremy and Joe are always wearing hats, like every day.
And Nate even today had a hat on.
Did he?
Yeah.
Every day those guys have hats on.
But those guys are wearing hats.
All right, let's take a break. We need to regroup here.
Hat talk.
803-0550. Come on in. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.